Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, dear.
Hi, Rana.
How are you today, dear?
You know, I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah.
I'm drinking coffee pretty late today. So
oh, no.
We don't know what's going to happen today. So it's anyone's guess.
If you're drinking coffee late,
yeah,
then we're headed for nothing but mischief and trouble today.
You know what? I didn't get as much coffee as I wanted today. I probably got as much as I needed, but not as much as I wanted.
How many cups are we on today? On an average now?
Well, it had been cutting back, so I'd only been drinking like 1.5 in the morning and then stopping.
Okay.
But today, I mean, you know, I just... That thing happened at the, you know, I don't know if you heard about the Zoom. It does fine. Yeah. So,
Heard about what?
No, I didn't know if you heard about the city council. I mean...
What?
So you didn't hear. So I should just stop talking.
Or start talking, as the case may be. Excuse me?
All right, Rana. You know how, like, they've been doing the city council meeting? You never go to the Marblehead City Council meetings, by the way.
I absolutely do not. You're correct.
Why?
That is not my domain. That is not my realm.
Well,
that
I've started
is for
going.
People that are looking to feel important. I already am important.
You know what, Rana? I went, and I'm not looking to... Well, I guess you could...
Well, no. In fairness to you, you're looking to be more of a part of a community that
that's
you
right.
have temporarily joined, let's say.
Well, all I can say is this, Rana. There was some sort of glitch on the Zoom call, and I didn't really know because I was sort of multitasking. You know how busy I am, and I've always got 5 things going on, but I also have to make sure that I take care of myself.
Yeah.
And
excuse me.
What?
Take care of yourself? I hope you don't mean take care of yourself.
All I know is that technology's really going down the tubes, Rana, because I thought I was in the clear.
I hope you don't mean take care of yourself.
Did you ever hear of a writer who was sort of,
yeah,
I guess
you're talking
he was
about Jeffrey, that you're telling me you pulled a Tubin? On the Marblehead town meeting?
Rana, no. A Tubin was pulled on me, except by that I mean that I thought everything was over and it wasn't.
You're telling me you... Okay, so what happened? You pulled your squad up a little higher than you should have during the meeting, or what?
Listen.
There was a Brazilian meeting, town meeting, where there were two people having sex in the back of the meeting.
Well, yeah.
But not in the meeting at home. The person had, they were signed into their Zoom.
Yeah.
And they thought the camera was off and they were having sex. I'm not kidding. The doorway was right there.
Well, good for them. Ultimately, yeah. Rana, this can get traced back. This is all I know, okay? Is that I overheard someone.
You're not even a resident.
Well, this is all I'm going to say. The town is talking a little bit, Rana, because right before I logged off, I heard someone say, apparently, that's Rana Glickman's house guest. So they know who I am.
And well, everyone knows who you are because you wear your L.A. Lakers face mask when you walk around.
I know that, Rana, but
Laker
I just...
Girl, that's the new one that you just ordered, yeah, I noticed.
Yes, yes. And then I, you know, see if anyone... I do my Paul Abdul trivia right after, but all I know is...
How are you hosting Paul Abdul trivia in front of town hall these days?
Well, I'm trying to make it a little more fun because I have to say the last few have been sort of boring and sometimes I can't understand what they're saying. And so I thought that people would have questions about Hollywood and the Lakers and we just won, you know, we just won the World Series and the NBA championship, Rana.
Wow, you almost got that up. That was like when you speak another language and you think, I've got this sentence all loaded up and I'm going to use it. Donde está el baño? Correct. And then you just lose a little bit of confidence when you get to the Enye on Banyo. Banyo. Donde está Banyo?
It was the NBA championship that I wasn't secure.
You weren't
on.
Sure if it was the world NBA championship. Exactly. That's what you got nervous about.
I wasn't sure if it was exactly correct.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I just wanted to let you know. And ultimately, I just also wanted to say that it's actually your fault anyway, because I have begged you to let the lobsterman or someone else I could meet come into this carriage house and do me dirty. And you have not allowed it.
So, okay. Now, that's funny because I thought you were just taking care of yourself in order to relax. I didn't know that it was, that you had a backup in your system that you needed you had to deal with that moment.
And I have to say, Rana,
this is really serious, you know. We're having a little joke about this, but this could really affect my standing in the town.
The guy who owns the shoe repair here is very handsome, and it just took me off on a tangent mentally because he spoke up. But Rana, listen, people are really upset with you.
With me?
Yeah, that you would allow this into the town.
Well, what are you going to do when they insist that I kick you out? Because that's where this could be headed. These people are one click from pitchforks. That's who these people are. This is Frankenstein's Village, in case you haven't noticed.
And also, Rana,
sorry,
I don't mean
Frankenstein's
to be rude.
Monsters Village, which I guess is really Frankenstein's Village, because Frankenstein's the homeowner, not the monster.
That's what? Turns out you didn't even have to take me through the logic. You were right
from
the beginning.
Frankenstein's monster people drive me crazy. Don't you hate that?
Yes. And by the way, the book's not even that good.
The worst. It's not Frankenstein. It's Frankenstein's monster.
I know. Yeah. Shut up. So anyway, you've got a little bit of a problem to deal with, but it's not my, you know what I mean?
You do seem overcome. I would have thought you were at least a little more relaxed after you took care of your personal
business.
Well,
I was very relaxed until I realized that it was on camera.
Yeah.
And because
you would have chosen, like Cody Rigsby, you would have chosen a better angle if you known people were watching you.
Yes.
You and Cody gave us all the how-tos and the what-fors of doing a selfie, if
exactly.
You will. Yeah.
But I go there every meeting to try and talk about Hollywood and to do an open Q&A. And occasionally I get a few questions, but this time I didn't. I got a little bored. I thought the meeting was over because there was a flash on the Zoom. And so anyway, that's
so
the
they haven't approved your DuPaz bingo nights yet that you wanted to do. I know you were talking about doing West Hollywood East. DuPaz East bingo nights. Yeah.
That's what I wanted to do. DuPaz East bingo nights. And I wanted to have, you know, instead of bottomless, you know, mimosa or margarita.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a bottomless Artingstall and, you know, oh, I forget the name of the drink. The gin with the ice cream with the coffee liqueur.
Well, there was no gin. And
no,
it was
updated it.
And it was a saffagato.
Okay. So I want them to do bottomless saffagatos here.
I don't think that would be hard to do because people are real ice cream lovers here. But they're going to think, when you say bottomless, they're not going to know that you mean the waiter can't be wearing Vans.
You're right.
That's what you mean by bottomless, isn't it?
No, I just meant you could drink as much as you want, but also the waiters wouldn't be wearing pants.
The staff would be bottomless. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But now I'm known for being bottomless in this town.
Yeah. Oh,
well, you'll figure
it out. I have to tell you, I was shocked that they fired Jeffrey Toobin. I thought he was going to roll right through that. I didn't think a thing was going
to
happen.
It took them a minute, didn't it?
Sure
I mean, it seemed
did.
Like they really had to think about it.
Yeah. I wonder
what they were doing.
Waiting for it to blow off, I guess. But I mean, it's what it did.
Yeah.
I didn't, to me, Jeffrey Toobin has always been a scoundrel. And
I know I've read him, but I can't remember. He didn't do Going Clear, right? No, that was Lawrence.
No.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Lawrence, whatever his name is. Jeffrey Toobin is just a brilliant legal mind. That's his story. And so he really is very useful when it comes to these big trials and things. But I mean, he exposed himself in front of his colleagues, which is horrible. It's bad behavior, but it was not on purpose. Can we say that?
Are we sure?
No, we can't be sure.
That's
what
I mean.
It would be within his, if I was an FBI profiler, it would be within the purview of his personality to do it on purpose.
Sure.
It's a power play. He could definitely pull something like that on purpose.
My guess is that also, they just did not want, the New Yorker did not want to, you know, the same place that often employs Ronan Farrow did not want to have an incident like that at their staff.
Yeah, I guess that's the case. Are we just going to sit here and dance around all day, the fact that we have podcast hottest guest today?
Well, Rana, I was busy dancing just now around the fact that I hadn't, this Zoom is new for me, so I didn't do touch up my appearance. I'm only just doing it.
Oh, that's right.
It was a shock looking at myself.
Didn't your computer crash and you had to go in town to the Apple store or whatever?
Yes.
Is that a brand new computer you run?
No, they ended up doing a bunch of upgrades and stuff, and Yadvina's been able to wait by the computer because those take a long time and press the button when it needs to be pressed, so she's been helping me with the updates.
Oh, you didn't have to go into the Apple store to do it?
No, I did. I mean, I did drive-through.
Drive-through? How does that work?
I just put my computer outside my car like Sonic, and they came over and like worked on it, like on a tray.
Is that really a thing?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, that's what they did.
Huh.
Yeah.
Everybody, we're all going back to the 1950s. It's just like, I've never been to a Sonic. Have you ever been to a Sonic?
I thought you were going to say I've never been to the 1950s. I was like, Rana, who are we kidding?
Excuse me. Who are we kidding? I've never been to the 1950s.
You're right.
How old do you think I am?
You look fabulous. I have been to a Sonic because they were in Texas growing up. So I used to get the cherry limeade there and a burger.
You'd get a burger and a cherry limeade. Is it a good burger? Who would you compare it to?
I mean, no, it wasn't that good. It was like that sort of slow fast food version. So it's not like a McDonald's.
Fat burger?
Yeah. There you go. Like a fat burger.
I'm not interested. But they put a lot of effort into their limited edition items. They were always introducing a cheeseburger bite or a macaroni and cheese bite or a mini churro flurry sundae.
Right.
They really
sweet jalapeno nacho something.
They just care a lot about always having a new idea. That seems to be a big thing for them at Sonic.
And they don't roller skate to your car. They just walk over.
But they don't have Sonic in Massachusetts. But then they just, the ads, they run the ads anyway. I don't know why. I don't know why that is either. But they do.
We should get someone from Sonic.
Why don't we do a few reviews? Because we then really have to get to, I'm telling you. We're sort of playing it cool right now.
This guy is the biggest thing that ever came out of Boston. Yeah.
Maybe that's why we're playing it cool. Because
I mean, there's no way it's actually
until he enters the room. We're not even going to believe that this is really happening. He's the biggest thing that ever came out of Boston. Pardon me.
No kidding.
Don't tell the new kids on the block or the Red Sox or...
Sure.
I don't know who else is in that category. Mark Wahlberg, I suppose.
Yes. Probably, he's someone else too.
There's probably somebody else. Yeah. President Kennedy, maybe?
Yeah.
Tip O'Neill. Bonnie Frank.
Sure. Amy Poehler, isn't she from Boston?
Amy Poehler, yes, but come on, this is Conan. We're talking about. This is an icon. This is a legend. Yeah.
You're right.
And now here I just said who it was. So there we are. It's Conan.
But fine.
Can't wait to spend a little time with my dear friend Conan O'Brien.
I'm so excited to meet him, Ron. I don't know how you did this.
Oh, he's going to love you. Now read these comments, please.
Kiss the Chef Atlanta, 5 stars, right?
Kiss the Chef Atlanta. Okay.
Yeah. Writes, love y'all. Love listening to Ron and Brian on this podcast. Highlight of my week. So nice to laugh out loud in the car by myself. Also love the shades of vanilla coffee. Great to drink. And also as a pastry chef, it makes delicious espresso cookies.
Oh.
What about that, Rana?
Well, she or he, I don't know, the chef here.
Yeah.
Is about the second or third person. We've had several espresso shortbread cookie recipes.
I've never even heard of such a thing.
That's because you don't check the Instagram. So we've been through that again. So that's another note that I'm sending to HR.
That is not true,
that's
Rana.
Another note I'm sending to HR.
I checked it all week and reposted things and everything.
I don't buy it for a second. You would have seen Grog Brogdon's espresso crunch cookies when he did them.
Oh, I didn't see those.
And then there were two other people that sent us espresso cookies. But I love the people are cooking with the coffee.
I know.
And there is so much exciting stuff going on at AskRonaCoffee.com, including people sending gift subscriptions to other people, which I love.
You can either gift
a bag, or you can gift a subscription, or you can gift a gift. So that's been pretty exciting.
Look, I sent one to my ex-husband just to sort of say, like, empires are being run. Happy holidays.
So it was to rub it in Derek's face. How well are you doing?
No, he just loves coffee, and I know he would love this coffee.
You had to send it to him because I was so complimentary of him the other day.
It's right. That's
when I was talking about, was that on Patreon that I was talking about how much I miss Derek?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
I wasn't saying I missed him. I was just saying he was a catch, you know, that he was
right.
my kind of guy. You know,
yeah. No, I remember you saying that.
And that he was a wonderful father to Sherman.
Yeah. He is. You did. You already said it. Yeah. He's great. Yeah,
well, I hope he loves the. You know what? I'm so glad to know he's getting the coffee. That makes me really happy.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
I'm not going to give him another one, though.
When you do something that you love, mm-hmm. I love making people try the coffee because I love the coffee. I'm so proud of it.
Sure. It's delicious.
And so then people who I like, I want them to try the coffee so they can mm-hmm. give me a compliment back about the coffee. It makes me feel good about myself.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So well, I look, maybe Derek will shoot me an email.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to talk to him.
Let me know.
We'll see what happens.
Next comment.
Okay. Kevin 80021 is a long time listener. He put a bunch of G's there.
I've never seen you do a before.
I didn't know I could.
I didn't know I could do it back to you. How about that?
Yeah. Long That sounds like Ronna and Brian are the best we have. I've been a fan of Ronna's for 8 years, and she has answered my toughest advice and my funniest advice during all this time. Are you a sauna, /patreon.com, member? I am, and you should join and take your love of Ronna and Brian to a new level. And finally,
A little aggressive from Kevin 821.
Kevin is absolutely right. I don't either.
I don't mind it.
It's all happening in the carriage house, and it's actually all happening in the sauna.
Fabulous.
Correct. Yeah.
That Joshua, you know the journalist from the Financial Times, Joshua Chaffin?
That Joshua Chaffin, yeah.
Yeah, he just joined us in the carriage house. Even though he's been paying for the carriage house for about 6 months, he just figured out how to do his RSS feed.
Oh.
So, which is so easy. Once you do it once, it's the easiest thing in the world. You just paste it right into your
I was thinking about Joshua Chaffin, and I have a proposal.
Yeah. Is it Chaffin or Chaffin, do you think?
I say Chaffin because it's two Fs.
Yeah.
But
right.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know what he was born
You have an
with.
Indecent proposal for him.
It's not that indecent. I just need him for a trick I'm going to pull, which is I thought maybe if I did end up giving Derek another bag of coffee, I could say like, P.S., I'm dating Joshua Chaffin from the Financial Times. And I know Joshua has a family and everything, but it might just impress Derek.
Let's move on from Derek, shall we? What's our next
Finally, yeah. Shades of, in parentheses, vanilla fan.
Oh, I do love it when their screen name is something to do with the show.
They have fun with...
I have a little less respect for people that do that, I have to be honest.
Whoa, what just happened?
Well, I like it because it's our show, but in general, I don't like it when people only identify as a fan of a thing.
Oh, why?
Star Wars fan 888.
Oh, I see. Sure.
Yeah. Mandalorian Stan.
Well, I mean, Ronna, I'm a Shades of Vanilla fan and a Ronna fan.
Yeah.
I'm a Ronna Stan.
Is that your screen name?
No, I need to change some stuff.
Yeah. All right, so go on.
Okay. We do not deserve this podcast, but boy, do we need it. Required listening for a good life. How
very simple. Very nice.
Well, Ronna,
I love that people have been sending us reviews again and rating us again because it means the world. And the algorithm, I mean, if they don't do it, the algorithm will be pushed to the outer corners of the podcasting galaxy.
Correct.
To be quite honest with you.
That's right.
Algorithm is the great existential monster that needs to be fed at all times. And
wow.
I wish we could tell you to stop, that you didn't have to rate us and you didn't have to review us. But honestly, it's a fabulous way to support the show.
Absolutely.
And it's an easy way. It doesn't cost you anything. You know, of course we love it when people buy the coffee, but which is another fabulous way to support the show. It's how we keep the lights on in the carriage house.
Yes.
But truly, the reviews and the stars and all of that means the world to us.
It certainly does.
Five stars.
And it's how we get guests like our guest that's coming up.
That's entirely true. I can't wait to see what the algorithm does with this.
This is going to be
the universe could explode. It's entirely possible.
It's not out of question. Ladies and gentlemen, to the interview.
Attention Carriage House members, Ronna here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Rana here, sitting by my crackling fire, if you happen to hear that in the background, the BJ, as they say, and wanted to let everyone know about a few fun things we have going on at Patreon right now. We normally do our fabulous Quarantine International Film Festival, but this week, this Friday, we have decided to do a January watch party featuring some of the most famous or infamous, pardon me, figure skaters of all time. The grace, the beauty, the costumes, the scandal. We've got a lot to say about all of it. So we've posted the clips on Patreon. If you remember, you can find them there. And we're going to be discussing some of the most fabulous and scandalous figure skating performances on and off the ice, pardon me, of all time. So join us on Patreon at patreon.com/askrana. And don't forget, our January book club selection is The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. Kiss, kiss.
Now, wait a minute.
Rana.
Okay. So where he? So he's here. All right?
He's period here, period.
I got to tell you, he's lit to perfection. Like an absolute Caravaggio.
Well, you don't think he knows a way around a lighting, Rana?
I don't know if he has a team that travels with him where he goes. I don't know how it works.
He's been doing this for decades, Rana.
This guy is the biggest thing to come out of Boston.
Yeah, I don't bigger care. Than
I don't care what they say about the New England Patriots.
Sure, yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't care what they say about the Celtics.
No.
I don't care what they say about the Red Sox.
Larry Bird.
I don't care what Mark Wahlberg says about himself.
Or
be
Donnie,
with
for
you.
That matter, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, he's a TV actor. It's a TV actor, if we can call it that.
It's not Tom Brady.
Well, you didn't have to say that. I mean, in a year when I'm upset about Tom Brady, you know, I don't want you to bring that
I meant
up.
It as a compliment. I don't care at all about Tom Brady.
Tom Brady isn't him. Let's put it that way.
Tom Brady isn't
Excuse me.
Ladies and gentlemen, do we even need a last name? This is like a first name. This is like a share.
Icon, a legend, and a dear, dear friend.
Right.
Excuse me. Right out of Brookline, Massachusetts.
Sure.
Pardon me. Which is about 27 minutes from Marblehead, would you say, Conan, on the expressway?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's 27 minutes. If you're driving like the average Bostonian, then it's,
What does that mean?
Well, then it's 24. How many people you can run off the road first?
Right. You have to pull some people out of the grill of your car when you get where you're going. But yeah, you know, you sort of slid right into who I was. You just went, what do you think, Conan? You know, it's like, it's Conan. You know what I mean? That's a big deal, Rana. And you're just sort of, the way you just slid into
I'm
it.
With you. I'm you know what I mean? Conan.
Right.
It was way too cash.
Thank you, Brian. It was way too casual. I know we come from the same area, but you needed to.
Don't start with me, Conan. We're not going to start this right now. Okay.
All right.
You're in the carriage house today. All
right. I know. It's beautiful.
We're not. Well, thank you very much. We're not in the studio. We're in the carriage house, Padma.
It's gorgeous what you've done to it. It's very nice.
What do you miss the most about driving in Boston? Because you live in Los Angeles now.
You know what I miss is, there's a bunch of things I miss. I miss seeing a Dunkin' Donuts. Every block, there's one every block, and sometimes there's a Dunkin' Donuts built off of another Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
And the signs are just sort of lit up facing each other. I miss seeing people, you look out the window and everyone's wearing a Red Sox cap, even though it's redundant. It's clear. You don't need to wear a Red Sox cap. And when you travel around the United States, you don't see everybody wearing the hat of their team everywhere. And I go home and I see, and my brother Justin's there, and he's got a Red Sox cap on at the Thanksgiving Day table. And it just seems like, what are you doing? There's no
wonder. I will never understand why grown men still wear ball caps.
Well, it's like why women dye their hair.
What?
Well, it keeps them young.
What?
I don't,
do you think that's what they think?
Maybe.
Oh, that is the most depressing thought. It just made me think of a giant hat over an enlarged prostate. That's what me think.
Yes, yes. I'm with you, Rana. I think it's absurd.
Adam O'Byrne, who is our producer, who knows your wife from the Ojai Playwrights Festival, et cetera, because when he's not doing this absolutely ridiculous operation, he's a very erudite man of the theater.
Whatever that
but
means, Rana.
His father, he said, he grew up in Toronto, and he said he wanted a Blue Jays jersey. And his father said to him when he was about six, "Are you on the team?" And he said no, and he said, "Then you're not getting a jersey."
Good for him.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. I love that.
Are you on the team?
Are you on the team?
Yeah. I think it's ridiculous, I think a ball cap doesn't make a man look younger. It makes a man look compromised, mentally compromised.
You know, desperate.
It really does look like you walked out of your facility and you got away.
It does look like you were either hiding something or stalking someone.
Yes.
It is a very dark look.
Well, I just think it's very infantilizing. It's juvenile. You know, and I feel the same way about sports clothes as clothes.
Yes.
People that think sports gear, that's dressed.
Now,
Let me put on my nice Red Sox shirt and then go out to the...
You know, I agree with you. One thing I do approve of is men that are not athletes using lots of sports analogies where they don't really apply, just to act like jocks. Meaning, in comedy, I know plenty of nerds that just talk about how, I had to get warmed up first, but then I went out there and I really had a good game. And they talk that way.
Yeah.
And you know that
took
they never
shot.
Played it. Yeah, I took my shot and I scored multiple times. And I'm aware that they've never played a game in their life.
Look, same page. And for making out, you can use it.
You can't be a perfect person.
First base, second base, third base. You know what I mean? That's baseball talk, too.
Well, that's way beyond making out, frankly.
Well,
you don't know what my first bases are. My first base is waving. My second base is winking. My
third base is unbuttoning a glove.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my
little
home
tiny
run.
Buttons on the glove. Yeah.
My home runs a calf.
A home run for you is actually answering the call. Yeah. Just coming in. Yeah.
That's right. I'm alone up until then.
Yeah. Up until then, it's you imagining the date. And then you pick up the phone, and it's not even the date.
Exactly.
It's Edison.
Okay. Now, listen.
Uh-oh.
We're going to sit here. We're going to chat, of course. But we can't do that forever because we've got people that are desperate for advice here.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I happen to know that Conan, in addition to being obviously one of our greatest, a national treasure and one of our greatest comedy
Mogul.
Heroes.
Hero.
It is a shame that we don't have the OBE or the knighting or this or that in America, because there's no question in my mind that we would be talking to Sir Conan O'Brien.
Thank you.
At the moment.
Right.
I happen to know, because Conan and I have had a couple of dinners together.
We encountered one another, several times.
You may recall a couple of years ago when I was in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was just trying to go for a couple of weeks, do what I like to do, a little bit of this, a little Tel Aviv, a little Jerusalem, a little Golan Heights, whatever it is. You know, I'm at the Mamila. I'm at the Norman. I'm staying at the places I'm supposed to stay. I'm eating at the places I want to eat, and I'm doing what I want to do.
Touring Bethlehem.
And it's bad enough when I'm there, because we have a couple of diehards fans over there. Somebody left me at my hotel reception a bag full of Cadbury chocolate, which was a very nice gesture, but you can't eat food that fans leave for you. I mean, you just, unless you want to end up with a razor blade. But whatever the case is, there was such a kerfuffle. Everywhere I went, there Conan either had just been or was there now.
Yeah.
We said, enough of this charade. Let's have dinner. We can't,
No, the word got out. First of all,
Mothra
I could hear.
Mothra and Godzilla.
I could hear you all through Israel. As you said, it's not a big place. And everywhere I went, and there's a lot of noise around the Golan Heights. And I heard you. Your voice really cuts through the
din. Is that Conan?
Yeah,
that's
what I heard.
I mean, Well, you know, it's a very funny thing about Israel, because everywhere Conan went, of course, he had to have security. And you had, not just because he's famous and he's shooting and all of that. Of course, in Israel, you want to be extra careful when you're a target, when you're someone that calls attention to yourself.
Yeah, I'd love to go sometime, Rana.
So he had, look, when the pandemic's over, we're going. We're
the
doing
three of us
that.
Will go?
Well,
I'd love to do a repeat.
I don't know about Conan, but you and I.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I'm in too.
We're going to do Istanbul,
you,
and then we're going to do Israel.
Great.
But no matter what, there he is. First of all, he wasn't hard to spot. Excuse me.
Sure.
Everyone else, got brown hair, brown eyes, 5'8" and a half. And, you know, Sir Conan O'Brien was there.
Sure.
Surrounded by, of course, you know, ex-Mossad, current Mossad. What do I know? This, that, all around him. And no one could get through. Nothing was going to happen to him. But the funny thing about a bodyguard is they will never stop a Jewish woman from trying to get straight to where they need
right
to go.
You just walked right in, is my guess.
I walked right through, pushed right up, and said, look, who's here again? Excuse me.
Oh, just like that.
Here we are. All
right. Yeah, you got a lot of
yes,
brass.
Yes, I'll have dinner with you. Yes, yeah. I'll have dinner. They moved. They're used to gold in my ears, so they just pat like the Red Sea. They let you go. They do not want a problem.
No. People got right out of the way. I didn't know who was coming. I thought it was, some Israeli muckety muck. And then it's you.
Yeah.
And I had been hearing your voice, so I assumed you were in town.
So we had a lovely dinner. But what I happen to know is that Conan gives great advice. He's got a great perspective.
That's what that whole story landed with?
That's all it was.
Okay.
That and the fact that I was very upset that he wasn't wearing enough sunscreen, but that could go for probably any time.
He looks great.
He was baking on that beach, and I was so upset about it. I was afraid he was, never mind, going to die from a terrorist attack. He was going to die of a melanoma right
there
on
the beach. I love the way you say melanoma. I was also the only man.
As opposed to a carcinoma.
Yeah. I was the only man there wearing like board shorts. Every other man was wearing, including my security, the smallest Speedos you'll ever see. I mean, everything was on full display because that's what you do in Israel. I had those sort of 1920s bathing suits that go down to your ankle. I was wearing those and shoes. I was wearing brown ox.
For going to third base when you want to just show a little ankle.
That's right. Very sexy.
All right. Listen, we have desperate people here, and you're going to think they're crazy, but that's only because they are.
Okay. Nice.
Rana, do you want to read the first one?
I'll read the first one,
okay,
I suppose. Okay. Dear Rana Bryan, an invaluable guest. That's you, Conan.
Conan O'Brien.
Oh, great.
Longtime listener, first time asker. I'm a 34-year-old gay man from Indiana, just to give a little info about me. My question is about how to bring up hurt feelings with friends when they're the source of the hurt feelings. My friend group is normally very eager to celebrate each other's birthdays. The pandemic / quarantine has, of course, made it difficult to have our usual birthday blowouts. But that hasn't stopped us from coming up with fun and creative ways to celebrate each other in a variety of safe fashions, even in the cold weather. For example, since March, we've planned birthday drive-by celebrations, hired a clown to dance on a friend's... We should stop here.
This is bad.
This person should not only be not listening to our podcast, they don't deserve our advice. Okay. Hired a clown. Do you think that's the only gig that clown got all of the pandemic? Or do you think they're in demand at the moment?
I don't even think he was a professional clown.
There's no way.
He saw the job offer and he was doing something else.
Person with a clown suit.
Yeah, and obtained clown paraphernalia at the last second and some cheap, counter makeup and took the clown gig. Maybe an escaped convict. Who knows? A gig's a gig.
Hired a clown to dance on a friend's lawn while we all watched and cheered. Had socially distanced get-togethers. Paid for birthday videos from our favorite drag queens, etc. We've even planned a Halloween costume backyard cookout recently. For a friend who loves Halloween. We always find a way to make it thoughtful and fun so birthdays don't fall by the wayside. That is, all birthdays except for mine.
Oh.
Yeah. By the way, I already love this guy, even though he's a bit of an Eeyore. I just love anyone who makes it about them like this. So I'm all in.
That was, and that was a huge buildup to what we all knew was coming.
That's right.
You know what I mean? That was not an O. Henry twist. Everybody got a great birthday. Everybody except one. And that one was I.
Guess who?
Yeah.
My birthday was back in August. And while there have been several text threads in which we all help plan celebrations for whoever is next in the birthday queue without them knowing, none of that happened for my birthday. In fact, when I brought up my birthday about 2 weeks beforehand, the responses I got were basically, you should plan something. Let us know.
Wow.
It really hurt my feelings, especially because at the time I was going through some very difficult emotional / relationship trials and tribulations, excuse me, which everyone knew about. I've been downplaying how I feel about this for months. Because I'm 34, not 12, and felt like I was just being selfish or immature. However, I can't help but notice the effort that goes into all these birthdays and compare it to the zero effort that was put into mine. I can't help but wonder why mine was the only birthday that didn't get acknowledged beyond a few texts. It makes me feel like I'm just not as important as everyone else in the group. Is this something I should bring up with my friends? Is it worth it? If so, how? Or should I just let it go and chalk it up to 2020's rampage through our lives? Thank you for your advice and guidance. Even if Brian says I should poison all my friends and tell them they should have done better.
Oh, great idea, by the way.
Use my name at your discretion. Most sincerely, Adam.
Jeez. Well, first of all, why he assumed that Adam was going to be on his side. And I mean that Brian was going to be on his side.
He did.
Adam.
But you know what? He assumed correctly. I said halfway through, I'm all about this guy. I love a victim for a birthday. There's nothing better. Conan, what do you think?
I think he's got to keep it bottled up. That's the way I was raised. I think you, because I would not say anything to anybody, and I would use it as fuel. I would keep using it to stoke my creative. I really would. I love a resentment. I love a resentment more
you
than anything else.
You love a grudge. You do love
I
a grudge.
I love a grudge.
I do too.
The Irish people are really good at it. So my people, my brothers, my sisters, anyone in my family, we will polish a grudge to a high shine for 30, 40 years.
Yes.
So that's what I would do. And I would make them pay in little ways, in small ways where they're never really quite sure why they're paying. And then when we all meet in the afterlife, they realize that that was why the rest of their lives were miserable, is because of that mistake that they didn't even realize they made. So that's what I would do.
I love it, Adam.
Adam, that's what I would do, is just bottle that up, stuff it down, and then use the heat from that resentment to come up with all kinds of creative ways to make them just little cuts, death of a thousand cuts. That's my advice. You never quite cop to it, but it becomes the fuel that helps you outlive these bastards.
Now, you come from a big family.
Yes,
okay?
I do.
Are you a birthday person? This is a two-part question. One, are you a birthday person? Brian is not a birthday person. Mm-mm. And two, do you recall feeling like your other siblings' birthdays that they were made a bigger deal of? Or
yeah, that's my whole childhood, is always thinking someone else. I was a middle child of six, if there is a middle of six. But I was the third, and I always felt like other people were getting most of the attention. And so yes, other people's birthdays always loomed much larger than mine. And yes, if my birthday is not acknowledged, I seethe and I'm angry. But if it's acknowledged too much, I don't like that either. So I like putting my friends in an impossible position.
Sure.
And that's one of the things I'm very good at. So acknowledge my birthday, get me something, but really don't get me too much, but it better be good.
Now, and also, if you told someone you didn't want to celebrate your birthday, you just, for the record, be furious if they didn't still do something.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't,
I think that is.
Yeah. Don't totally listen rational. To me. Don't listen to me. Yeah. If I say don't make a fuss on my birthday, make a fuss. But it can't be a surprise party because those are humiliating.
Yep.
It's got to
be just right, and it can't be wrong in any way. But I won't tell you what it is I want. Yes, that's exactly it.
Brian, what's this guy going to do?
First of all, your biggest mistake in life so far is not hiring that clown to dance for you on your birthday. You could have sat on your lawn, you could have hired him to come over, and he could have danced just for you, which is way more special.
Now he sounds like a male prostitute, frankly. you're calling this guy who's really not even a clown and saying, can you come to my house
when
the sun sets and have some
clown,
cheap...
Every clown has a price. I think you know that.
Excuse me, and wouldn't you, Conan, wouldn't you, if you were paying for a clown, wouldn't you rather him just dance for you than have to dance for 50 people when you're the one who paid?
I know how it would go. The clown would come over. He'd start to dance for me. I would feel awkward about the clown dancing for me, and I would say, why don't you come in? This is in a non-COVID world. Come on in. Let's have a drink. Let's chill. And then eventually the clown and I would get emotionally attached, and, you know, who knows? I'm open to experimentation. And,
Understandable.
it would develop into more than a... professional clown-client relationship.
Got it. I also think, Conan, I'm also a middle child, and I understand always feeling like someone else is getting a little better than you. Yeah. And I hate that feeling, but I think it's most of the time inaccurate. But Brian,
you're also right now the middle child on this podcast.
I am.
You know? Yeah, it's sort of like
Ron is the
sort of the alpha, and then I'm the special guest, and then again you're the middle child.
Exactly.
So it's playing out.
So
and you know
I'm
not
what? Paranoid.
No, you're not paranoid, but Brian, you create situations where you're always the middle child. You are doing it. You are recreating
that. This wasn't Brian's question.
You know what, though? You know what, Rana? That's better than any advice anyone could give anyone else.
Well, I don't need is an empty carriage house. I don't need Brian going out there trying to be the first child instead of the youngest child.
No, I'm
going
to stay, but I'm talking
child.
To HR about a raise and about a title and all this.
There is no HR within 30 miles of this carriage house.
I keep begging Rana to get HR.
Brian's been asking me to hire an HR executive for quite some time now.
But listen, I actually do think that these people aren't as fond of you as you are of them.
Do they like him less? That's the question.
Do they like him less? And I also think you were sort of, and listen, this is speaking from one drip to another. I think you were sort of a drip in this email. And I'm wondering if that translates into your relationships in your life. However, I also think you could do like a Home Alone and just tell them to breeze by your house, but have all the cardboard cutouts and you're having your own party and get them jealous.
I think everyone needs to examine the energy and the effort.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a drip.
Going into celebrating other people's birthday. I have to tell you, through this whole COVID, look, it's a bummer. Okay? we're all at home.
Is it a bummer? Can you just repeat again what it is, Rana?
Because I'm homesick.
It's a bummer.
It absolutely stinks.
I'm so happy right now. I'm not able to go back home ever. And now I'm back not only home, but I'm back in 1975. Someone in 1976 told me the ending of the Rocky movie on my way there. And I turned to my brother and I said, that's a bummer. So thank you, Ron. Anyway,
but
go ahead.
Everybody needs to just get a little more fortitude. These are the moments where I want to send everyone to a gulag for 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. We talked about this at the beginning of COVID, and I said to you at the very beginning, Brian, this country is not equipped to deal with this because no one has ever had to die on this soil in about 200 years, and they have not lived under an authoritarian regime. So when people tell people in Romania, stay inside, they know that they don't want to be asked twice because on the third time, they'll just arrest your whole family or they'll murder you. And that's the end of it.
Yep.
So when they say, we suggest you wear a mask, people know what that really means. There's a reason why China is able to lock it down. And that's not the society I want to live in. But in a moment like this, there is a bit of resilience and fortitude that is required.
Yes.
And all of these people that are crying about Thanksgiving and about it, it's one meal where you're going to sit at a table with some people that you were going to get in an argument with anyway, that you have built up in your mind. And turkey isn't even that delicious. That's the other thing I'm going to say.
It really isn't. It's not. Of the available meats, it's really at the lower end of the spectrum.
One of the
no
drier.
One ever eats turkey in a restaurant. You ever go to a restaurant and order turkey?
Yeah, I'll have the roast turkey, please. Can you send that over? Who's ever said that?
There's a reason they put it between two slices of bread when it's not
Thanksgiving. Well, they serve it at county fairs. Don't forget that.
Well, okay. So that's where you get me, because that's a county fair is not exactly my domain.
Okay.
But everyone, all of this, we hired a clown. You know what? Everything's canceled this year. It's all canceled for 1 year. All right? Nobody thought they were going to be home playing with the dog all day and telecommuting and doing whatever. That's what it is. So stop trying to make, this is where you have to examine the kind of personality that you have. And you're the kind of guy that wants to make things special for other people, and you want to be recognized for that. And these people have shown you they're not going to do that for you.
Also, let's be clear. You know, they say there's no such thing as an altruistic act. He's doing all this clearly. He's admitted it. Adam, admit it to yourself. You did all this so that then you could be celebrated on your birthday.
Yes.
So it wasn't selfless. There was no selflessness there. You were doing it to get your payoff. And then when your payoff didn't come, you're filled with rage and resentment, so much so that you write to the carriage house.
I don't think it's wrong to expect or want for your friends to care about you and to reciprocate. But I do think it's wrong to overexert your resources and come up short and then wonder why.
Mm-hmm. See, that's a good point. I don't have conventional friends. I just make friends with the people that work for me. And then it's a way to control. And this is true.
Well, then they'll never disappoint you. Yeah.
No, they can't. Yeah. They literally can't disappoint me.
Yeah.
Because I can terminate them. And so,
Conan, have you done anything Howard Hughes-ish in this pandemic?
I was saving my urine for about 6 weeks, and okay. I was attended to by Mormons, and I was watching Ice Station Zebra over and over and over again, naked except for a washcloth draped over my my shriveled genitalia.
So that's
other than that, and not cutting my nails until they grew into curlicues, and living mostly in a penthouse that was abandoned in a hotel that I owned in Vegas. Other than that, not really.
Fair enough.
All right, Brian, let's move on. Adam's been eviscerated. We have to move on to another question.
Okay, sorry, buddy. Adam, you had that coming.
Okay. Dear Ronna, Brian, and fabulous guest, Gruzzi from Switzerland. There's no way I said that right.
Oh, now we picked this question because Conan has international appeal.
Okay, great.
For sure. Well, it's true. I mean, this is our first international star that we've had on the show.
That's true.
And with the travel show, we're lobbying for Switzerland to be one of the places
you go. I would love to go to Switzerland. Switzerland, I'm headed your way.
I'd like to come too. Since I came partially on Tel Aviv, I think us in the Alps is something.
Ronna,
something
there's
that
clearly no stopping you. You're coming whether I can't stop it. You're just going to be wherever you want
to
be.
I look forward to seeing you in the town square in Stade and saying, is that Conan?
Sure.
Come into this place. They have the best Spätzle you'll ever taste.
So I looked it up. It's Gruzzi from Switzerland.
Gruzzi.
It means hello.
Exactly.
Hi, from Switzerland.
Yeah. I will leave the complimenting to the podcast reviewers. You two both know that you are flawless and brighten everyone's day, far beyond the borders of the U.S. So here's my question that I'm asking your advice for. Me and my girlfriend have been together for about 5 years now, and she's the best. So this is not about us. I met her male best friend back then, and we immediately made best friends from day one. I love the immediately made best friends from day one. We built a strong relationship over this time, and we three do many things together. He has been dating many girls since I came into the equation, but never lasted longer than a few months. He is always 200% into it from scratch, spends 24/7 with them, lets them basically live in his home, and even takes them to his summer residence in Ticino?
Excuse me.
They are all very warm-hearted, understanding, and sane women that we, my girlfriend and I, get to know and start to like very much. Nevertheless, after a recurring amount of time, he politely but always out of the blue breaks up with them, leaving them confused and sad. We know he is no tool at all. He is always undeniably attached to himself. But this outcome is always pre-programmed. He had some sexual issues regarding coming while having intercourse for years.
Oh, sorry, what?
I didn't know that this was kind of podcast.
Well, we're dealing with a Swiss German here.
They just say
say it.
It's a bodily function.
Right.
Okay. He had some sexual issues regarding coming while having
intercourse. Please, Brian, grow up.
I know.
Brian, grow up.
Sorry.
Please, we're supposed to be sex therapists now.
Okay. He has some sexual issues.
The man in Sweden is in terrible danger right now. We need to
Switzerland.
Help. Whatever.
Use your context clues.
What is it? Newton, Brockton, Braintree, Burlington? I don't know. Okay, Switzerland. Sorry.
He had some sexual issues regarding coming while having intercourse fears, but he recently overcame this with an adorable woman. With which he, make a guess, again broke up. I know that he is certain about his sexuality. We talked about this a lot. Right now, he is head over heels for a Russian girl that he never met, only FaceTime, but she will visit him as soon as the borders are open. I lastly want to add that he has had to deal with a lot of grief in the recent years. His only sister committed suicide, and his father, horrible, his father requires intensive care due to a brain tumor. We love him with all... It's not funny, Rana.
That's always the laugh. Laughing? That's always the laugh line for Rana.
Definitely. Intensive care, brain tumor. That's
I
her
just
comedy.
Love how matter-of-fact this list is.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
We love him with all our heart and just want to be...
He is the information. Yeah.
Yes, this is exactly.
Yeah.
We love him with all our... You're never going to see it coming. We love him with all our heart and just want him to be happy. And I would appreciate if you would share your thoughts about how to approach him about his decisions, since he tells us he doesn't know why he acts the way he acts and wants to overcome them himself. Thank you for your valued input. I hope my English was about accurate, and much love from Switzerland. Hi, Seven, Yannick, and Sarah. I don't know what... It's literally his hi and then the number seven.
So. Maybe that was a typo. But it's from Yannick and Sarah.
Yeah.
I like that he signed it together. It's very sweet.
Loves his friend. They love
I'm a Yannick fan. He's got a big hat.
He does.
What is
Conan.
It? I do have a quick question, which is... why did he get into the specifics of the sexual part? I mean, I know that everyone talks about everything, and that's probably... I mean, there's genitalia in Apple drink ads, you know, when you're in Europe. Do you know what I mean? Make sure you drink your schludy, and then there's three penises holding it. So, I mean, that's just that you see that everywhere. But my question is, the problem was that the guy did not have an orgasm, or he had an orgasm too quickly. What was the issue?
Well, I know why he brought it up.
Well, actually, he doesn't specify what the issue
specify,
is. Just that there were issues regarding
basically,
it.
What he's intimating is that this guy has either a performance issue or an intimacy issue. So he falls head over heels for these girls. But he's saying this was not the problem with the last one. He's just giving us information for some clues that what could be going on. One possibility is this guy has... intimacy issues or physiological issues, whatever it is. And so he gets to a certain place with these girls. And then when he can't really deliver, he breaks up with them because he doesn't want to face the scrutiny of trying to fix the sexual relationship. So
this
he's
is
a person
every relationship I tried with a woman.
And I'm not saying he's gay. He charms them.
This is the trajectory.
Well, but it's also every relationship I've had with a woman, and I've been married for 20 years. So,
fair enough.
It's ongoing with my wife. I fear intimacy, and
she's very patient. Yeah,
yeah, she is. She's holding out for our 40th year together. She knows that's when we're going to crack through it. So if I understand this correctly, he met his friend through his girlfriend who he's crazy about, right?
Yes.
It was his girlfriend's best friend, and then he's been watching this friend struggle. And I think I'm thinking what Ron is saying is correct. He likes to cut it off before there's too scrutiny. I'm intrigued. There's a clue in here. He takes them to his special summer place.
To Chino.
To Gino.
Yeah, he also lets them move in, more or less. He spends all of his time with them, and then he breaks it off with them.
That's interesting. That's a fascinating clue, because he brings them to a very intimate place, and he hurries up the relationship. Many men with this issue would keep people at bay. He goes the other way, too much so. What does that tell us?
Well, some men do that, too.
Frank Sinatra would do that.
Yeah.
He would, was in love with love.
And yes, would just a seducer. For a woman, it's a seductress. What do you call a man?
He would tell Janet Leigh, meet me at the altar, and then just be like, who are you? So I think this guy clearly likes a fantasy of some kind of like what a relationship looks like, what romance is, how to wine and dine someone. It thrills him just as much as her. But then I think when it gets real, even just physically real, the fantasy's over, maybe? I don't know.
That sounds pretty accurate to me. My question is why it's a problem for Yannick and Sarah.
Yeah.
Because they love him, Rana.
But so what?
Is the problem is that they want him to be happy? Is the problem that they want him to be happy the way that they're happy? Is the problem... Do you see what I mean?
You think the call's coming from inside the house?
No, I just think that... So... All of us have a friend or a cousin or a brother or this or that who's a little bit of a scoundrel.
Sure.
And so the problem for them is that they are put in a recurring position where these lovely girls are wined and dined and romanced by this guy, and then he drops them. And so they feel some responsibility about the fact that they don't say to this woman, just so you know, he's going to dump you in 2.5 months because you seem like such a nice girl. You're going to think you're madly in love with this guy, and he's going to stop calling you, or he's going to take you to Ticino, and that's going to be the end of it. And so I think the problem is...
Not if you're Annette Bening.
I think the problem is fundamental, which is that he's not honest with these women. But... The remedy for the problem throws a wrench in the works of his pathology, which is the friend's pathology is that he wants to seduce and he wants to, and he's in love with love. As you were saying, he's the Frank Sinatra. So if he's honest with them from the beginning and says, look, just so you know, I'm not looking for a long-term relationship, but I want to see where this goes or whatever. It destroys the fantasy for him. Mm-hmm. So there's a sort of disconnect here between these possibilities.
They may be wanting him. You know, first of all, there's a lot of guys out there, and we know this. There's a lot of guys out there that say, I can never find the real one. And they like to play up the fact but they that they haven't found the one. But the truth is they don't want to find the one. So these friends, Yannick and Sarah, may be trying. We don't know this guy's name. I'm going to just call him Shkludy.
Yes.
They're trying to... solve a problem for Shkludy that maybe Shkludy, and that's with four umlauts. That's the record.
Yes, sure.
they're trying to solve a problem for Shkludy that maybe Shkludy doesn't want solved. And there's a little bit of them signaling virtue, performative virtue signaling, where they're saying, look, us, we're the happy couple. We've got to help Shkludy. Shkludy might be happy taking him up to Chino, these ladies. And you know he's got a ritual up there that he does. And he always acts like it's the first time for each one. But he brings them up there. And they go to the apple orchard and they look at the walnut tree. And then you know what I mean? He does one thing where he pretends to find a gold coin every time and then they make out and they do it and they act like that's never happened before. But then he replants the gold coin every time.
Yep.
Shkludy.
It's like when you go to Cabo and you go out on a boat and they're always like, oh my God, we've never seen a dolphin before. Look, there's a dolphin. You see it every trip.
Right. Yeah. He takes them on the love tour.
Exactly.
Exactly. And but he plays like The Bachelor with them.
At this point, Shkludy has done this enough times that he knows how this ends.
Yes.
So either he has deep, unresolved trauma, either emotional or physical or whatever, or there is a fundamental dishonesty in the way that he's operating, which is that he's acting like each time it's going to be the first time.
Right.
Also, we have to leave room for the fact that look, he could be a perfectly nice guy with an unresolved issue, and he doesn't have an interest in resolving it. And this is just what he's going to do. This is his pattern. But you should probably stop trying to figure out how to make him happy.
Yes.
Right.
Because this might make him happy.
Yeah.
Doing this.
And also, both of you
sounds
said,
like he's young and handsome. And let me tell you something. The second he has a little bit of trouble urinating for the first time, you'd be surprised that these girlfriends start sticking around a few months longer.
Sure.
As soon as his stream slows down and he realizes he's going to die someday.
Well, Ron, that's going to be like when he's 80.
Well,
That's not something that happens when you're like 30.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
You seem to be a younger fellow, Brian, but I will tell you that the stream can sometimes slow much earlier than 80. And all kinds of things can start to fall off. Listen.
Schlutie's young and sexy.
Yeah, Schlutie, there's a little bit of k in there.
Oh, sorry, Schlutie. Schlutie is young and sexy.
Sorry, you know, it's just... Schlutie, let's not solve a problem for Schlutie that's not a problem for Schlutie.
Schlutie do.
And I've been saying this since day one. I mean, for most of my life, I've been saying Schlutie's going to do what Schlutie's going to do. And that's what we got to face.
That's
true.
Yeah. And also, I think to both of your points, this is really his issue and not yours, Yannick, and not yours, Sarah.
But Schlutie's a drama queen. He likes to come talk to them about their relationships.
And I think if Schlutie wants help, do Germans see therapists? Do Swiss Germans go to therapy?
Austrians absolutely do, but I don't know about the Swiss.
Because Freud was Austrian, I guess.
Yeah.
They have to go because it's like on the postage stamp, you know.
They're famous for it. Right, they have to keep up the tradition.
Exactly. They all have to, and the therapists have to dress like Freud. Even
send
the women.
Send us a picture of Schlutie. And then I'll give you all the answers the second
and
I
I'd
see
like
it.
More specific knowledge of what Schlutie's erotic issue is, because for my own interest, I'm just curious
if
it lines
up. Does anyone ever see these women again? Because this could be the talented Mr. Ripley. We don't know what's at the other end of us.
Yeah, they might go to you know what I bet? I bet Schlutie comes back a lot from the summer place and goes like, they left when I was there. They just took off. Oh, Schlutie, we're so sorry. I'm so heartbroken. That's odd. Why is there an ankle bone in your pocket? It's not an issue. It's not important. So.
I know, but if you're ever gonna trap somebody under a house or dig a hole for them or keep them in a dungeon or whatever, Ticino is the place to go.
Yeah, no, that's the perfect place. Many people have rated it one of the best towns.
Anytime they find someone who has a daughter in the basement that they've had 8 children with, it's always in Austria. I will say that.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. One more very quick question and then one more question. But here's my question to you. Someone wrote in to us and they said that during the pandemic, they've been using a bidet. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Brian's been pushing a bidet called Tushy on his other program.
It's a great bidet.
It's some sort of a bidet you attach to your toilet.
It's very easy to use.
They say that the bidet works well, but not entirely.
Conan has put on his glasses and I think is doing hard research right now.
I am. These are, first of all, they're sunglasses, but the prescription, and they allow me to. So I look sight impaired, but I'm not. I'm just writing down the facts here because I take this very seriously.
Are they French, those glasses?
They are, actually. Yeah. Very good.
Jacques-Marie Ma.
Yes!
Wow.
God, she's good.
I know.
You're very good.
In any event, they want to know, they've come to us because they say they still need to use a little bit of toilet paper, and they want to know what the world's best toilet paper is. And Conan, you have been famous. You've been rich and famous and traveling the world with minions for a long time. And on top of that, you've done comedy tours, et cetera, et cetera. I want to know if you can tell us what either your favorite toilet paper is or the best toilet paper you ever used.
I don't have a brand that I use.
Okay.
It's very important to me to get it done right. So for years, I've had my assistant special order me, and it's made actually for me, a 9-ply. It's the only 9-ply toilet paper in the world.
Otherwise known as a towel.
Well, some people would call it a towel. You know what? I would say it looks suspiciously like a towel.
Right.
I give my assistant Sona probably several $1,000s a year to get me to lay in a good supply of this 9-ply toilet paper. And she does return with what does, now that you bring it up, suspiciously look like a bunch of pretty cheap towels, hand towels.
Right.
But I do use those. They're very soft. I put a little vinegar on it. Don't ask why.
Well, you like a little, you know, perks you up.
A little fun, yeah.
You like a pucker.
I like to wake it up down there. Wake things up.
Vodka.
Yeah, and let it, get the word out down there that
why
I'm not messing around.
Sure.
You know what
sure.
I mean? That I take things seriously. When you take the beach on D-Day, you got to use heavy artillery. And,
that's right.
But I had a quick question, which is, Tushy is the bidet that you say that Is that what it's called?
Yes. Are you a tushy guy?
It's very discreet.
Okay. You know what? It just occurred to me because you said you really like it. Has anyone ever come up with a bidet that literally attaches to your ass? Like it clamps on so you can continue to perform functions throughout the house? While it's hosing things down there and everything's sealed off, there's a really good seal so there's no leakage.
I think your next trip needs to be to the Castro, because I can guarantee you at the Castro in San Francisco, you will find that exact device somewhere.
That's what I want. I want a bidet. And you know what? We live in this world where everybody's got to have the latest, coolest gadget.
Yes.
And you know they've thought of this in Japan, in Tokyo, because sure. I've actually been to the I shot a remote at the main store. I'll think of the company in a second, but it is the most famous toilet company.
Toto.
Yeah.
And I mean, these toilets were following me around. You know, they knew
robot
when I had
toilets
to go before I did. Yeah. And it was incredible. They opened up, they said things, they talked to me, analyzed
Toto
issues.
Toto also does a bidet you can attach to your toilet. It's called a washlet. And that's the more higher end version of the tushy. But you're not a bidet guy. When you stay in a hotel, do you give it a crack?
I don't use bidets.
You're too tall for a bidet anyway.
I'm very tall. I'm 6'4". Yeah. No, and it just doesn't work. I can't use a bidet, and I think it spoils that part of your body. It pampers it too much. I want that part of my body to know that, like, you've got to just suffer through. Do you know what I mean? I don't want...
You all are real Yankees. That's what I'm learning. Real New Englanders.
I don't want my ass thinking that it deserves this. The next thing you know, it's going to want all kinds of other things, too. You know, it's going to want calfskin sure. breeches. So, no, that's not happening.
Well, you can get those from Schooley in Switzerland. I'm a Cottonelle person. Excuse me?
Okay.
I like the blue wrapper, not the purple wrapper, too soft. And if you're in England, Max and Spencer makes gorgeous toilet paper.
That's a question. What do you mean too soft? What would be the, without getting indelicate, Ronna, what would be the problem with it being too soft?
Tears apart a little bit.
Rips.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You need just a dash of rigidity to really know you're getting the job done.
I think I've had enough. I have to be honest with you.
All right, Brian, read the last question, then we have to go because Conan has to go home.
Okay.
Sadly, Conan doesn't have to go home.
This is our grand finale question.
What a bummer. That was a bummer of a question. Yeah.
Dear Ronna and Brian.
Was the Rocky story true, Conan, that someone told you the end and you said, what a bummer?
I remember it. I was depressed, and I do think I said, what a bummer. And that's why I immediately, that fired a neuron for me, Ronna, that hasn't been fired in a long time. Just hearing your voice is firing a lot of old traumatic memories.
In Los Angeles, when you're driving, in Boston, when you're driving, you can cut someone off without looking at them.
Yep.
As long as you acknowledge them after you've done it.
Yep.
Or in the act of doing it. So you are completely within your right to cut anyone off at any time. And then you just have to raise your hand and say thank you.
After the fact. And it can be sometimes weeks after the fact, as long as you see them on the highway again.
And
you just have to acknowledge it at some point.
It's a real game recognized game culture when it comes to driving. It's a lot of fun. All right, Brian, read this one.
Okay. Dear Ronna and Brian and Conan.
Thank you.
I am in love with my boss. I don't really care that he's my boss or that he's older than me or that he lives in another city. The problem is that he's in a relationship with someone else. Like a lot of people, the pandemic shook up my role at work and I had to take on new responsibilities, including working for my boss crush. In our new remote work life, most of my coworkers keep our virtual communication to phone calls rather than video calls, but he always turns on his video during our weekly one-on-one meetings, so I always have too. Our conversation starts out about work, but eventually we get sidetracked with debating movies about time travel, the merits of reality TV.
Get married tomorrow and save everybody else the trouble of having to listen to you two.
Yeah, debating movies about time. I mean, it defies logic. That's the answer. or sometimes even sharing deeply personal stories from our lives. It's not unusual for these conversations to go on for about 2 hours or so, and it's been this way since the spring. I tried to tell myself not to read into this and that he's probably just a chatty guy we've never met in person. However, I happened to mention the video thing to another coworker.
I hope he's 4'11" when she meets him.
And she said,
I hope he has a giant head and no legs.
And she said he doesn't do that with everyone else and that he rarely opens up about his life to her. I guess I tell you all of this to say, I think he likes me too. I've heard gossip from coworkers that his relationship with his longtime girlfriend strikes people as odd. And from our conversations, he doesn't seem particularly happy. But that doesn't matter, does it? Because whether or not it's a good relationship, I know that I don't want to get in the middle of it. So how do I get over this guy? I've never before had such strong feelings for someone who wasn't available, and I have no idea how to move on. Wow. I've also been living alone in a pandemic for 9 months now, and frankly, I'm lonely. I look forward to these calls with him, and I think about him all the time. But then every so often, he mentions his girlfriend, and I feel like such a fool. I'm not particularly attached to this job, but given the pandemic, I can't believe I'm still working at all and haven't even considered looking for work elsewhere. For the record, I do have a wonderful therapist. But if you can believe it, that bitch is on maternity leave. And I'm about to turn 30, but I'm a woman, so I don't know if Ronna's 29-year-old rule applies. Yeah. Thank you so much for all the great advice and big laughs. Please don't use my name, she, hers. P.S. I feel I should mention I'm a Patreon subscriber in case that moves my letter to the top of the stack. Kiss, kiss.
Hmm. Well, here it is on the stack.
All right. Well,
did you ever have a crush on Lorne Michaels?
I gotta say, yeah. I'm relieved because until about 2/3 of the way through, I thought it was me. I thought this was someone who works for me because I do often flirt on Zoom calls with female employees, and all I do is talk about time travel.
Right.
But then they mentioned, so I'm relieved it's not me.
What's your favorite time travel movie, Conan? The time traveler's wife.
Thank you.
I've never even seen that. It seemed too absurd to me to even get involved. Eric Bana and Halle Berry or something like that?
Yeah, it's my
like
favorite
that.
Time travel movie, and I've only watched 5 minutes of it because it's not really my genre.
Bill and Ted. That's the best one, right?
Who knows?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, let's not get sidetracked here.
Jeez.
You know? I'm sorry, Brian. I know that I'm the guest here, but you've got to get back in line.
I get it. Back to the middle.
Yeah, back to the middle there.
That's right.
Wow.
Have you ever had a crush like this, Conan? An unrequited cut? I know it's been a while, but you've been married a long time, but can you think back to when you were a 29-year-old girl and you were in love with someone you worked with? Or had some sort of special relationship with someone you worked with, and it's just, you thought you were going to just, it totally made you excited, and also you thought you would die.
I worked on a TV show back a long time ago when I was first getting started, late 1980s, and there was an incredibly cute young woman that worked there that held cue cards. She was a cue card girl, and I just had such a big crush on her. And I have to run and do cue card changes with her and I had the massive crush on this woman. And I did finally work up I asked her out for a date. She said yes. And true story, I remembered it was just around Christmas time and we went shopping that day. As she said, we can go Christmas shopping together. And I woke up that morning not feeling great and throughout the day got sicker and sicker and sicker and was like, no, it's all falling away. Do you know what I mean? Like I can, by the end of the day, I think I must have had like 103 fever and aches and chills. And so there was no chemistry there. It all fell apart and I went home and collapsed. And
did that person go on to be the star of Dynasty? Was it Joan Collins?
No, it wasn't, but very, very, you are very, very warm.
Okay. That Falcon person, Crest, the star of Falcon Crest.
Jane Wyman.
Nope, you are, but you guys are so warm, you have no idea.
Fantasy Island?
Okay, I don't know how you do it. You are so good.
She's good.
You are so good. No, it was someone who actually was briefly on the Love Boat towards the very end.
Got it.
Last season of the Love Boat.
In the Ted McGinley days.
Yeah, when Ted McGinley was there and they brought in, it was like the ninth. person they brought in to be the entertainment director on the Lido deck. They kept bringing a different blonde one every year. She later went on to be one of those people. And then
was Fred Grandy already in Congress at that time? Or was
Fred
he?
Grandy, yeah, was already in Congress. And Ted Lang, the bartender, was already on the Supreme Court. So
did she go on to be Margaret Thatcher after that gig?
Very, very close. Okay. Very close. She did hold high office in Britain, but not prime minister.
Okay.
But no, but I know that feeling of having a crush on someone at work, but not knowing. And of course, that was back when you could ask someone out at work. You can't do that now. I don't think I could do that.
Right.
This person really, is her boss.
Yeah. No, she's got a, I mean, there's nothing she can do. There's really nothing she can do. And the HR rules now, there's nothing she can do. She needs to, and this might seem rash, she needs to quit that job immediately. And then she needs to come up with a way to encounter the boss in another situation. And
like getting a COVID test or something?
That's a great idea, yeah.
Yeah, and when they're in line for a COVID test, say, oh, remember? And he's like, oh, my God, how are you? You said that you were leaving to become a neurosurgeon. Yeah, I was, but then I sort of changed my mind, and oops, I just spilled my coffee on myself. Let's go somewhere and clean it off. And then, you know, whatever. That kind of trick.
I actually think that's great advice, but I also want to know, could you cheat it a little, or is this also just playing dangerously? If you were like, told him, like, I think I need to look for a new job. I've started developing feelings for you. And so this is going to be, I'm giving you my 2 weeks. And then maybe he could say, I have feelings for you too. Or is that just not a good idea?
How about, I think I might have to leave because I have feelings for someone at work. That leaves the door open. He doesn't feel threatened.
So, Conan, I often talk about how 29-year-old men are the worst people that you could possibly... And I'm mostly talking about straight 29-year-old men.
Yes, yes.
The worst creatures that anyone can encounter.
Yes.
Because they don't know what they want. They're not successful enough yet to feel that they can provide for other people. Their mortality is not quite, they're just starting to realize that it's time to wake up.
Yeah,
and that they're going to have to do something. And that is always the time where they string along this one and that one.
Yep.
It's also a terrible time to be a woman because you're still on that precipice. It depends on the person, but you're still between your 20s and on the precipice of your 30s. So this is sort of, hopefully, the last one of these you're going to have for a while, meaning a fantasy crush on someone. It doesn't really matter to me that he has a girlfriend. Is that a crazy thing to say? Not that I think people should be trying to date people that are in relationships. I'm just saying we don't really know what that's about. And right, with the pandemic and everything, it's not crazy to me. Maybe he's learning something through this flirtation with you that he does wish he was in another relationship, but nothing can happen right now.
No, and
so
not
this
to
is
mention,
torture. Really.
Even with that off the table, even with that on the table, the idea that it's the same thing that goes with Tinder and any other dating thing. You can have the best relationship with someone over Zoom, over text, over this, over that. It really does all change when you're in person with someone. So the fact that you would make any major decision around someone that you're having lovely, deep, thought-provoking conversations with, but not in person, is just a terrible idea.
I'm going to double down on what I said.
Yeah. Okay.
You quit the job immediately. You disguise yourself in some way, and you contrive a way to meet him, maybe in a bank line or maybe at a COVID testing station, but you're slightly disguised. Then you get to size him up in person and see what he's like and if those feelings still exist. Now, of course, what I just said means if you're disguised, you don't have to have quit the job. So let's remove that part. Say, don't quit the job. Just try and meet him in real life, but in a disguise and an elaborate comedic disguise.
Like a clown dancing.
No, not like a clown dancing. One of those like Clouseau disguises. It's just absurd and ridiculous.
Oh, sure, pipe and everything else.
Do you think he would take, what's his price to pay a clown, to play a clown dancing in your house, outside your house? That's another idea. I have to say my hat goes out to you because it's the worst feeling.
But it also sounds like fun.
Have you had this? It sounds like you've had this.
Of course. I think everyone has had this, which is being so excited to talk to someone, feel you have such a connection with them, and knowing that there is no path forward.
Right.
I mean, haven't we all experienced this? It is, yep. It's such an exciting, maybe you should just see it as a tiny little gift of the pandemic or a little silver lining, which is that you get to have this crush. But I think I would cool it on these 2 hour conversations about space travel.
Yeah. Well, it's actually time travel, not space travel. Yeah. You know, when the listener thinks that you're not really listening, that's when you lose them. You know, wow. So I'm sorry, Rana. But
he's just trying to neg me. Isn't that what they call it?
I'm negging her because I've never matured since I was 29. And
sure.
Even though I'm in a long and healthy marriage.
You never matured to 29.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. When I was 27, I wasn't yet 29.
I think 17 is your number.
You think that was when I was in my prime?
Or 19. No, whenever your emotional development. I think you were a very mature 19-year-old, and then that's where it stopped.
You know what? I honestly think I think you nailed it. And I mean that 1,000%. I'm very impressed. You got the – not only did you nail what type of weird effete glasses I'm wearing, you nailed when my development stopped, which would be about 19.
The glasses are not effete at all. They're fabulous. You look like a French auteur or a friend of Bob Dylan in these glasses to me.
Thank you. Thank you.
Rana, are you fabulous. Wearing Buster Grants? What are those?
No, these are Elaine Meekly's, actually. Mm.
So, Conan, now it's the end of the show. Uh-huh. Yeah. And at the end of the show, every week, we pick out a gift for someone who wrote in who we think really deserves it.
Yeah.
So, Rana, do you want to say what the gift is first?
Well, I'm going to give this gift again, even though we gave this gift pretty recently with Dan Savage because it's such a hit. Because I'm going to send one to Conan, too. Unless Conan doesn't eat hard-boiled eggs.
It's a very sexy gift.
I really don't eat hard-boiled eggs. I got to be honest with you.
Then I won't send you one.
I'm not one of those guys that sits at a bar like Paul Newman in The Verdict and pulls a hard-boiled egg out of a jar and then rushes up Copley Square.
Well, up Copley Square. Anyone in your family, do your children eat eggs?
No one eats hard-boiled eggs. My wife eats hard-boiled eggs.
Okay, so
what is it? Is it a hard-boiled egg?
This is Eliza. It's a Dash egg cooker.
It's a hard-boiled egg.
It's the most fabulous thing you could ever imagine.
Only makes a hard-boiled egg?
Yes.
Actually, it makes other kinds of eggs, but I've never tried to do it.
Oh, yeah. If you can poach it. I'm a fiend. As my mother would say, I'm a devil. For a poached egg.
Then you're going to love this because you don't have to poach it in water. And the problem with a poached egg, if you're a poached egg fiend, you'll know, is that people leave them in the water too long and they get a little bitter. You know when you get a bad poached egg.
You do know. You know right away.
Yeah. Well, great. So we're giving away poached eggs. And are we giving this, it's called a Dash egg cooker.
Yeah.
So who do you think deserves this Dash egg cooker? Should it be the person who no one celebrated his birthday?
No.
Okay. The Swiss Miss and Mister? Mm-hmm. Or should it be I'm in love with my boss?
Well, the tricky thing is that Yannick and Sarah are fine. They're fine. They're just worried about Shkludi. Do you see?
Right.
So does Shkludi, do they get the egg cooker or would Shkludi get the egg cooker?
No, the gifts are not transferable.
The rule is they're not transferable.
No. Hmm. These gifts are for the people that write in. They're not for the people that have problems in their lives. We are doing this to take care of the people that wrote to us, not the people they're trying to take care of.
I'm torn between the couple from Switzerland and this last woman who has a crush on her boss. And I'm kind of leaning towards Switzerland. It's your call. But I love giving gifts internationally. I love the idea that I might someday do one of my travel shows in Switzerland and this couple would come out of the crowd and hand me a poached egg.
Well, then Brian and I have to be there when you get the poached egg.
Well, yeah. You're undoubtedly going to be with me. And Brian, as we know.
Yeah, what's up?
Brian's a chaperone.
Happy to be there, yeah.
You just, I don't know.
I fly business or first.
Brian is the most fun person to have on a trip you could ever have on a trip. We've been to Budapest together, and it was absolutely fabulous.
I did a handstand in the pool.
But I'll tell you what, it's going to look great in you. Here's what I know about Yannick and Sarah. They have a very cute little European kitchen, and it's going to look great in their kitchen.
And it's also a very efficient machine. They'll like that, too.
They're going to love it.
Yannick and Sarah, here we go. So Conan on Brian, you can What are your socials? I'm just kidding.
You? Yes, just where can people find you, Conan? We always ask our guests. We want to make sure they're able to plug their shows.
My show is available. It's on quarter inch VHS tapes in the Sears catalog, if you can still find one. Well, currently I'm on TBS, and then I will be transferring over, as many people are,
so
into the
excited.
Streaming world of HBO Max.
Wait a minute. Sometime. That was so funny to me. So they announced that he was just moving this show.
Sure.
And it was such a brilliant joke, not just because it was funny, but it was funny to read it in the press release. Because that's the thing. People that think, oh, this is funny, but is it funny to experience it in the medium that it's meant for? And it was so funny to read it because it was a sentence that led you to a certain place and then had a classic reversal.
The Johnny Carson joke.
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
What was the joke? Do you remember it? Or do I have to say it?
Yeah. I said, I'm very excited to be doing this back in 1993 when I met Johnny Carson, which was all true. And then I said, he gave me the best advice I ever heard. Quote, get to a streaming platform as quickly as possible. And, you know, I liked it because it was sort of also a comment on how much things have changed since I started. Because I could never, I mean, the first thing I did was they bought me a suit and they introduced me to Johnny Carson.
Oh,
and
what a dream.
I remembered, and I have a picture of me with Johnny Carson looking about 11 years old. And it's one of my favorite pictures. But when you think about that world and the world we're in now, it's 1,000 light years ago.
Did you ever meet Joanne Carson?
Yes, I did.
Very tough to be married to a talk show host. Who does a show every night.
I wouldn't know. I would, I do
and
not.
And for years and years and years and years. Nice.
I know.
Tough My, job.
No,
tough
no,
job.
No, no. Very, I'm a good earner. And that's what I tell my wife every day. I'm a good earner, if nothing else. And a single tear goes down her beautiful cheek.
All right. Well, she's getting a Dash egg cook for her trouble.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you so much for being with us. What we do
what
now,
a treasure.
You do not have to stay for this. We can let you go. We do our cliffhanger. We read our cliffhanger question, which we then tell people to go see us on Patreon, because we do an exclusive show on Patreon where people get the answers to our cliffhangers.
We don't answer it here. We just read
it. If you're curious, you can hear the reading of the question. But if you want to, you know, go poach an egg, you're entitled to do that as
well.
Well,
now you put me on the spot. Now if I dash out, I'm one of those Hollywood phonies.
No one will take it one way or the other.
This wouldn't have decided that anyway.
No. Everyone already knows how they feel about you.
Yeah.
All right, then I'm going to go. Screw it. This has been an absolute delight.
I knew it.
We love it.
It's been an absolute delight. And Brian, I want you to assert yourself and become more than just the middle. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Assert yourself. And Rana, lovely to see you as always.
Better watch out, Rana.
Mike sure stayed for the cliffhanger. I'll just say that.
That's it. I'm staying. I can't trust that was a bit, so I'm staying. Let's hear it.
Of course it's a bit. All right, dear. We loved seeing you. Thank you so much for being
bye-bye,
here.
Bye-bye, guys.
Goodbye. Thank you.
And good good luck with all of the new stuff.
Just say endeavors.
And good luck with all of your new endeavors. I can't wait to see what you'll do next.
What a bummer.
Okay, wasn't that fabulous?
What about that, Rana?
Oh, I mean, it was so fun to see him in Israel, I have to say. Because
he
stuck out like a sore thumb, and people were so excited that he was there. But Israel's fun. It's like a little, you know, it's like a Holy Land amusement park with a terrific food court.
Sure. And tiny swimsuits.
They're going to love that I said that.
Yeah.
I can't wait for us to go. And then they have their own Splash Mountain right there, the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, we're going to have a great time, you and I when we
wait.
Go. And I can't wait for us and Conan to go to Switzerland together to deliver to Yannick and Anna.
Well, Conan said he wasn't sure I was invited, Ron.
Oh, he definitely said you were
invited. So I might have to pay my own way.
No, there's no question. Listen, you stick with me, kid. We're going to Switzerland with Conan O'Brien.
I appreciate you.
You heard it here first.
Thank you, Ron.
Dear Ron and Brian, while I always appreciate Brian's advice, I feel as though this question may be a bit more up Rinna's alley. Well, maybe we can get Lisa Rinna on here.
I
did do a video with her a few months ago. Rinna. Remember we did a little video for Edie Packer.
Of course.
You can probably see it on their Instagram.
I'm a gay man about to be 29. Oh, here we go again. I know, the most hated demographic, and for good reason. And I recently entered into a relationship. We've been dating now for about 6 months, and for the most part, I'm very happy. He's an incredibly kind, generous, and caring person, and I consider myself incredibly lucky to have someone like him in my life.
Nice.
However.
Oh, boy.
I've had something bothering me this last few months, and I'm hoping to get some guidance. This man I've been seeing makes quite a bit more money than I do, which is normally something I admire in men. Not so much money, but the drive and the ambition that results in said paycheck. He's a doctor at a private practice in a ritzy neighborhood outside Manhattan. We started out with his covering dinner or drinks, which was fine with me. Which I was fine with. However, recently he's been paying for things like trips, clothing, and other experiences that, to me, seem a bit extravagant. He insists that his paying does not bother him and has no impact on his own finances. But as someone who does not make this kind of money, it's been a bit foreign to me. What's more, he insists that I not thank him for the various gifts and experiences he purchases. Simply that I continue to be happy and engaged in the relationship, which I am more than willing to do. Clue.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, I feel an incredible amount of guilt when it comes to these treats. Even a simple thank you or acknowledgement of gratitude would go a long way in resolving said guilt, but he refuses to let me do that. No matter what I do, I can't shake the feeling that my measly efforts to repay him, be it planning a cute date or baking him a pie, come up short. I was hoping Ron would have something to share from her experience with Dr. Bob. Well, that's presumptuous, the idea that I didn't come into the marriage with my own money.
Yeah, come on.
How dare you? You don't know anything about the Levine family portfolio.
She's not Elizabeth Bennet. That's right.
You don't know anything about the Levine family portfolio. Though it may not be the exact same thing, perhaps she can lend some advice. Do I simply play by the rules and accept the gifts and experiences? Or do I stand up for myself and tell him that I'd like to pay for a thing here and there? This problem seems to be inconsequential given the current state of our nation, but I couldn't shake it and thought I'd ask for some guidance. Please don't use my name. Regards.
It's a great question.
It is a good question.
You can go to patreon.com/askRana for all the tips and tricks of that.
That's right. And thank you for joining us today.
Yes, always what an episode.
Join us in the Patreon Carriage House. Of course, we have the book club and the Quiff.
Yes.
Which we love doing. And, of course, there are so many fabulous things going on in the Ask Rana Coffee Shop. So AskRanaCoffee.com.
Please.
All right, dears. Terrific.
Rana, what a get. You did it again.
I did it again. What can I say?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of 4Play.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo, let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to 4Play Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.